It is good to see everyone that has chosen to be out this evening, that we've made that choice in our life, that decision, to come out with others and to spend time in studying from the Word of God. We make choices every day of our life. We make choices just about every minute of our life as to what we're going to do, how we're going to live, where we're going to go, what we're going to eat, where we're going to sleep, what we're going to wear. You know, we make so many choices in our life, and every choice has an effect on us. You may choose to wear something in particular to a job interview, and it may be something that is found to be offensive by the person who's doing the interviewer, that's doing the interviewing, and it may cost you your job. You may choose to get up and have a light breakfast, and then you have a big day ahead of you, and you regret that choice all day long. You may choose to stay up late the night before and then you're tired all day the next day. You may choose on a Saturday to sit up or to go out and to do things and to carry on and enjoy your Saturday and then realize Sunday you put a little too much effort into that and not enough into the rest that you need, and you find yourself on Sunday just sitting there constantly dozing, allowing yourself to fall asleep. We make choices in our lives. And we have to pay the cost of those choices. For the younger, it seems like there's just a multitude of choices out before us, you know, as to where we're going to go to college, where we're going to live, what kind of a field we may want to go into. There's just so many choices, who we're going to date, who we're going to marry, things of that nature. And as we get older, sometimes we begin to think, well, we've made all of our choices. We've made a choice in a husband or wife, good or bad. We've made our choices in the field that we're going to go into and work in our lives, whether it be good or bad. And we're maybe reaping the results of some choices that we made when we're younger. And maybe we're trying to encourage the younger generation to make better choices than we made. And they look at us and go, well, you had the time to make your bad choices, let me make mine. And we're trying to give them a little wisdom and input into, well, I'm just trying to keep you from making some of the same bad choices I made. Choices. We have so many choices before us. And, you know, even as we get older, there's still a number of choices to make in our lives as to how we're going to continue to live our lives and whether or not we're going to continue to serve God. As we look throughout the Scriptures, there's just a multitude of people that had choices laid before them, choices as to that they could make, and they could make either for the right or for the wrong. We can see those that made good choices. Joseph was one that, through no choice of his own, other than his father just liked him better than the others, showed favoritism. His brothers made the poor choice to sell him into slavery, just get rid of him. Now, we could look at the other choice that they had in mind, and I guess you could say that was a better choice because they were wanting to kill him. And they chose rather to just make some money off of him rather than spill his blood. But Joseph, even though he was carried off into a foreign land, he made good choices. He chose to serve God, even though there was no one around him that believed in God. He chose to serve God and he was blessed in these things. We can see Joshua. He said in the latter part of Joshua to choose this day whom you're going to serve, whether it's the God who delivered you from Egypt or the God in whose land you're dwelling. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice to serve God. We look at Elijah. And Elijah was one that chose to serve God even when his own life was at stake. When all the priest of Baal were out there, he chose to remain faithful to God. When Jezebel was seeking his life, he chose to remain faithful to God. Moses is another individual that made a choice. He had a choice where he could have remained there in the lap of luxury, in Pharaoh's palace, or he could choose to suffer affliction with the Israelites, with his own people. And we noted in our own Scripture reading, if you paid attention to the Scripture reading this evening, there were two that made bad choices there, wasn't there? You know, Jesus made the choice, as we noted in our reading this morning. He prayed to God, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. He set out his choice was whatever God's will is, that's what I'm going to do. He made that good choice, and we're all blessed because of that good choice. But we see in that latter part that was read by Brother Matt this evening, Judas made the choice to betray his master. Peter made the choice. Some might go, well, Jesus said he was going to do it. Well, Jesus was able to look and to see the lack of faith that Peter had. Even at this point, after having been with Jesus for around 3 years, he still had this limited faith in that he couldn't face what was before him. We can note later as Jesus is speaking with Peter, he says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. Then feed my sheep. He goes on to say, once you have been converted, take care of the flock.
Peter made bad choices. Throughout his life, he made bad choices. And throughout our own lives, we make choices. We need to look at the choices that we've made and maybe realize it's time to make new choices. And we need to look at choices that we have in the future. And maybe we need to be a little bit more careful in weighing these choices that are before us. We need to become people of decision, like Moses, like Elijah, like Joshua, like so many before us. We need to make choices, and those choices need to begin with, like Joshua, I choose to serve God. Like Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. We need to be making good choices. And as we continue to look at the lesson, one of the things we need to look at as younger individuals is to listen to those who have made choices before and can see the outcome a little bit. How many of us would be a little bit further along if we would have listened to our parents a little bit better? If we would have heeded the things that they told us, do this and don't do that. If we would have just listened, how much further along, how much better might life be? How much stronger of a Christian we might would find ourselves? There comes a point in every man's life where we have to choose. And that choice is oftentimes a choice between serving God or serving this world. And as we note in Matthew chapter 12, there in verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." That's the simplicity of the choice. You're either for him or you're against him. There is no middle ground. There is no, well, I want to serve God, but I want to do this. And so therefore, if there's a conflict, I'm just going to take the middle of the road. No, you're either going with God or you're going with the world. We need to understand that every choice has a positive and a negative. Every choice that we make, we're either agreeing to something or we're disagreeing to something. When you get up in the morning and you look at the closet and you make your choice as to what you wear, you're saying yes to this shirt and this tie and this pair of pants and no to everything else. And you're going to bear the brunt of that if you wear something that's a little too tight or a little too restricting. Or if you put on a pair of shoes. How many times, men, have you been out with your wives and they have this cute pair of shoes and they love to wear those shoes, but after about 2 hours of walking in them, they're like, I wish I would have worn some different shoes. We all bear the brunt of the choices that we make, good or bad. When we look at Moses, we see that he chose not to enjoy the pleasures of the house of Pharaoh. When we look at Elijah, he chose not to join with Ahab and Jezebel in their idolatry. He chose to remain faithful to God. When we look at Joseph, he chose not to submit himself to Potiphar's wife, and chose rather to submit himself to God. Every choice we make is a yes or no. When we choose to go out and do things on a Saturday, and we allow ourselves to be tired and just drained, and we choose not to get the rest that we need on a Saturday evening, then we're choosing not to give God our best on Sunday. When we choose to go out and to do the things of the world throughout the week and fill ourselves with the things of the world, and we choose not to study God's Word, you see, there's a positive and a negative on everything. If you choose not to study the Word of God, then you're choosing to be a child of the world, to allow them to guide you in everything. We need to think about these things. We need to make sure that we're doing what we can to make proper choices. But there's great cost in these choices that we make. Once again, we look at Moses and he chose to give up a lot. Joseph chose to give up a lot. Elijah chose to give up a lot. He lived a life in hiding. Jesus chose to give up his home in heaven to come and live on this earth as a poor carpenter's son, to live as a vagabond the 3 years that he preached, and he chose to face death on the cross. Our choices can be costly. You know, we don't really realize exactly how costly sometimes our choices are until we have to pay the piper. And it bothers me sometimes when I hear parents say, well, let little Johnny and little Susie sow their wild oats. By choosing to allow them to sow their wild oats, well, they've got to eat those wild oats later. And let me tell you first-handed, wild oats are not good. When you reap them and you have to eat the things that you've done and reap the consequences for the choices you've made, they're not easy. You can't just pass them away. Some choices that we make can be lifelong in the consequences. We have to accept those consequences.
Sometimes we have to give up certain things that maybe they're not wrong in and of themselves. Maybe they're just we're just allowing them to take up too much of our time, and we need to be willing to give up these things.
Willing to let these things go if it's necessary.
Remember that everything in this world is going to be destroyed. Look with me, if you would, in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, we've been studying along this same line in our class on Wednesday evening and looking at the letter there in 2 Corinthians. And Paul is talking about the temporal versus the eternal, the physical versus the spiritual. And he talks about looking to those things which cannot be seen, those things which cannot be touched. And John writes of this, and he says in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." There is nothing in this world that provides lasting happiness. We need to be careful in the choices that we make. Moses could have made a choice to live in the lap of luxury. You look throughout and see all those. Paul made a choice to leave behind the blessed life that he had as a high up Jew. Someone who was on his way to being a part of the Sanhedrin if he was not already. He chose to leave all those things behind and to count them, as he says, as trash. As a garbage pile. He left these things behind and he chose to face persecution practically every day of his life for the rest of his life. That's a costly decision. To give up the admiration of your peers and go from one being admired to one being pursued. Sometimes those are the prices of the decisions that we have to make. We need to be willing to make those decisions. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there in verse 12, he said, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." In other words, Paul is saying, if you choose to serve the Lord, you choose persecution.
Amen.
In one way or another, we can be thankful that we don't generally face persecution in this country in the way that they did in the first century. But there are those around this world that when they choose to obey the gospel, they choose to put their life in danger. They choose to become an enemy of the state. They choose to become an enemy of those that are around them and know that their life is forfeit. But like Paul, they're looking to that eternal side. They're looking to that which is beyond this earthly tent that we're dwelling in. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 19. First Peter chapter 2, there, beginning in verse 19, Peter says, "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Think about these things. This idea of suffering for the cause of Christ. Peter says, not only do you choose to be a Christian, but you bear up under the difficult parts. You endure them. As a child of God, you endure them. And it's laying up this treasure. These things find favor with God. Decisions in our lives can be quite costly. We need to be careful in making the decisions that are set before us. But when we look at these things, how do we make proper decisions? And Moses is an excellent example. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. There in the 11th chapter. And, you know, really, the book of Hebrews there in the 11th chapter is just a chapter of those who made choices. Every single one of them makes a choice. And look at how it all begins. By faith, Abel chose to offer to God a sacrifice that was acceptable in his sight. You look at all of those. By faith, we see Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place. He chose to obey the will of God. It was a choice that he made. It cost him his family. It cost him to leave behind everything he had ever known, where he had grown up, spent probably 50 or 60 years of his life. Can you imagine that? Just getting up and leaving everything behind and knowing that you're never going to own anything. Because God said, you go to this land and you're going to dwell in this land, you're going to live as a sojourner. I'm not going to give you anything, I'm going to give it to your descendants. And we find that that is a promise that's going to take place around 400 or 500 years later. Moses, likewise, we see as you look in Hebrews chapter 11. As you look there, we see that Moses, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses made this choice. How did each of them make their choice? They did it by faith. By faith in what? By faith in God. Going back to Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. He chose to listen to the word of God. Faith, we read in verse 1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We read in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They chose to believe God's word. And people are making that choice today as to whether or not to believe God's word and to use it as a guide in their lives. We need to be making good choices in our life. We need to understand that these things that are set before us are there to help us make choices. How many times have you heard someone say, I wish life came with a user's manual? It does. It's right here. Everything you need to know about life and to get through life and to be a good person is right there. How many times have you heard young parents, they just become parents and they go, oh, I wish these kids come with the youth. It's right here. It's right there. Just read it. Forget about what Dr. Spock or Parenting Magazine has to say. It's a bunch of quacks. Everything you need is right there. To raise your children well, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's all right there. Listening to the latest fads on so many things, we make choices as to whether to believe the Word of God and follow what it says or to follow the ideas and thoughts of some man. We make choices. We need to be making sure that we're making good choices in our life. We need to be making sure that we are making choices that are pleasing to God. Choices that have good eternal consequences. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter there in chapter 1. In 1 Peter there in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. We read Peter writing, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, it's our choice. It's our choice as to whether we accept that inheritance that God has prepared for us. It's our choice as to whether or not we accept that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that we can be born again, that we can have salvation. And that choice, my friends, has great and very grave consequences. Choosing not to accept Jesus Christ, well, that has eternal consequences. And so when we look at these choices, we need to look to the Word of God. When we look at these things, we need to make sure that we have a measured eye, that we look at these things and we work hard at learning to distinguish that which is a good choice and a bad choice. Our children aren't good at making choices, are they? That's why we watch over them. Even though in trying to train them to make good choices, we allow them to make choices. It's under our supervision. We allow them to go and to do some things that we know might have some negative consequences because we want them to learn from that. And we try to teach them and guide them. But they've got to learn to make decisions. And we don't always make the best when we're young. And unfortunately, as we grow older, we tend to continue to make poor decisions, rash decisions. But when we're looking at our soul, we're making decisions for all of eternity. In Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 14, the author of Hebrews, he speaks of those who have grown and have increased in what they're able to do in being able to discern certain things. In Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 14, we see that solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You see, our choice, as we talked this morning about the need for Bible study and finding joy in Bible study and the good results of finding joy in Bible study, the results is that we have trained our senses, we've trained our abilities to discern between good and evil. But so many in this world, they're just kind of wandering around and, well, I don't know, I'm not sure which way to go. It's kind of like handing someone a map and they don't know which is north, south, east, or west. And then handing them a compass and they go, well, what's this? We don't have the ability to use those tools. Even if you hand them a nice handy GPS or a GPS-enabled cell phone, if they don't know how to use it, they're going to get lost. And that's where we need to be training ourselves, devoting ourselves to study of God's Word. That's one of the first choices we need to make, is to believe in God's Word and allow it to guide us. We need to have the same attitude of the Apostle Paul to choose things that have eternal value. As he says in 2 Corinthians 5, there in verse 1, we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We need to make choices with eternity in mind. Too many are making choices like the farmer. You look over in Luke chapter 12, and we find this farmer, he's gone out and he's had a great year. Everything has gone great in his life, and he's laid up great numbers of crops. And he says, what am I going to do? My barns aren't big enough, so I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and there I'm going to store my crops. And we note there in verse 19, he says, and I will say to my soul, soul, Luke chapter 12, verse 19, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He made a choice to focus on the future here on earth. He thought he had covered all the bases, but he forgot to count in one thing in all the choices that he had made. In verse 20, God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own that which you have prepared? So is a man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Our choices. We need to make good choices. We need to teach ourselves that we make good choices, that we look towards that which is above. In Colossians chapter 3, there beginning in verse 1, therefore if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Fix ourselves on heaven, on that goal that is laid up before us. But you know, when we look at certain things, we see that there's an outcome to the decisions that we make. We look at some of the bad decisions. Judas, his outcome was he was just distraught. Distraught to the point where he saw no hope. He had betrayed the Son of God. He had turned against Christ. And the only thing left for him in his mind was to kill himself. Peter, his poor choice led to him repenting, to realize what he had done. God gave him the opportunity to repent. Paul, in making that choice to turn from his life as a high-up Jew to a lowly Christian, choosing to suffer that affliction, he was able at the end of his life to say, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He made a great choice, and he received a great reward. The same thing we find with Moses. Moses, his decision to serve God, to leave the house of Pharaoh and to suffer with the Israelites, he became one of the greatest characters in the Bible, the leader of God's people. The same thing with Joseph, his choice to serve God rather than to fall prey to the wiles of a woman. Well, while it cost him and he went to prison, he later became second in charge over all that was in Egypt. You see, there's consequences, there's an outcome for our decisions that we make. Sometimes we may not realize those consequences. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus. And as we read the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, we see some personal instructions that he gives to them, some teaching that he tells for them to give to others. And oftentimes we fail to really look at these. Sometimes people look at it and go, oh, this is a message to preachers, and so therefore just preachers need to be the ones reading it. But look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, there beginning in verse 3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Every woman makes a choice as to whether or not they're going to keep this passage. Now some of you might be going, well, I'm not old yet. It's time to take an honest look in the mirror. It's time to really look at ourselves and realize that as the older women in the congregation, we have a responsibility to the younger women that no one else holds. That we have a responsibility that you as an older woman have not only a responsibility to keep your life righteous, but to guide and teach and encourage the younger women. And yet we look at the generation that's coming up, the generation, my generation, the generation to follow, and now they're calling the next one Generation Google. As these are coming up, they're making poor choices in their relationships because the older women have not taught the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. They're making horrible choices, and they're going to reap the benefits or the consequences of those choices. We lose the women, the younger women in the congregation, because the older women are not taking their responsibility and making the choice to teach the younger women, to encourage them. Which is going to come across better to a young woman? A preacher coming up and saying, well, this is what the Bible has to say, and this is what it teaches on this particular subject and everything, and here's some good guidelines to follow along with. Or an older woman who's been there, who's put these teachings into practice, and can give practical illustrations of how these things should go, that can encourage them in the way that they should. But because the older women have chosen not to take up their responsibility to teach the younger women, we're losing them at a horrible pace. And it's not just the older women, men. We as the older men of the congregation have left our role of being mentors to the younger men, to encourage them and to be good examples. We've made a choice not to help them, and we're losing as many young men as we are young women. When we choose to not do that which God has given to us, well, there's going to be poor outcomes in our life. And when something has been given to us as a charge, we have to do it. If you choose to obey God, you've got to obey everything, not just the stuff that you don't mind doing. And so if you find yourself being an older woman, choose to follow God. And in choosing to follow God, choose to work with the younger women, to teach them the things that need to be taught. I can't tell you how many times there have been instances where we've moved, and here Anna was a newlywed. We moved to Louisiana, and they wanted her to teach the ladies' class. In her early 20s. Still wet behind the ears as a married person. Not even a mother yet. Moving to Dyersburg, she's just a young mother. She's just a young wife. They want her to teach the women's class. Why? Because none of the older women wanted to accept the responsibility that God had given them. I felt the same way when I was asked to teach the men's training classes in some of these places. Now, after looking, I realized, well, maybe with some of these men, I do have something to tell them, because I've been giving invitations since I was 12. I've been active in the Lord's service. And some of these, well, they've never done anything so much as lead a prayer or read a scripture. But to me, that's saying that some older gentlemen on back when failed in their responsibility. Choices. We make choices as parents and how to raise our children. And sometimes we reap the horrible benefits of those choices. Sometimes we make the best choices, and we still reap horrible benefits because our children have the right to make their own choices. The choice is laid out for you. You have a decision to make in your life. Will you serve God? Will you allow God's Word to be your guide in making the choices that are before you? You know, was a good while ago that there was the bracelets, WWJD, and it was to, what would Jesus do? And it was to encourage people to think of, what would Jesus do in this situation? And I, along with many others, thought the better thing would be WWDD, WDJD, what did Jesus do? Because we know the choices that He made. We have a choice to serve God. We have a choice, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 13. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are that find it." Your choice this evening is to serve God or to serve this world. You're going to have a choice to make. Every moment of your life, the devil's going to be throwing every choice he can at you, trying to get you to make poor decisions. We need to make sure that we're making decisions that are pleasing in the sight of God. Choices. We need to weigh them with the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we can to serve the Lord. And so, if you need to obey the gospel, or if you need to return to the Lord in humble obedience, if you need to make that choice to once again dedicate your life to Him, because you find that you've made choices to dedicate your life to everything else, then now's the time, as we stand and as we sing.